Morning, everybody. I am your lay preacher for today. The emphasis on the word lay. I'm actually a viticulturalist, so my knowledge on this passage stems very much from my knowledge of vines. How many of you have ever pruned a grapevine? Ah, we've got a few. Ah, there's an old pruner there. I know that one well, and a couple up there that I've trained myself. For those of you who haven't, this is why I'm talking. Because one of the things we see here in this passage that I've put up here from Matthew, sometimes I've always felt, why does Jesus speak in parables? Why does he speak in metaphors? And that answer comes in Matthew, where he says, you know, I speak to them in parables so that, you know, there are some people who are just not going to get this because they don't wish to. And so the messages that are here are for those who are seeking truth. And sometimes that's hard to understand. And one of the reasons why it's hard to understand is that we live in a world that in many ways is quite different from the world in which Jesus was living. If we could just flick on the next one, Val. Val? Rural metaphors and parables. How many of you live in a city? I'm looking at the Singaporeans here. I know you do. I've lived in cities as well, and I've found that because of our industrialized world, it is really easy to lose sight of the natural creation. How many have lived in New York? Oh, good. I haven't either, but I've been there many times. It is really hard to see anything around you there that is not made by man. You look there, you see the trains, you see the buses, you see the buildings, and I believe very much so that many people who, because we live in so many of us in industrialized societies, it is hard to see the message that the natural world is giving us and to often see the message that Jesus is using in his parables. And just before the talk here, I was speaking to Jeff Kneebone. Jeff's actually looking at doing some preaching as well, but he's a diesel mechanic. So his message goes something along, I'm the pistons, you are the injectors, my father is the turbocharger, right? That would bring a message with Jeff and his workers, whereas I'm working out in a field with grapevines, and this is the message of today. And for those of you who've never pruned a vine, don't worry. Most people who come and work with me have never seen a vine before, but I can turn a no-hoper into a pruner within literally a few days. Can I have the next one, please, Val? That's a grapevine for those of you who've never seen one before. I've got thousands of them. And what it is you can see a structure. This is where I need my laser pointer. You've got this bit growing up the middle. That is actually what Jesus is referring to as the vine. And then the bits going out to the sides are, they call it here the branches. I hate that word. You know, the translator obviously was not a viticulturalist. They are what we call canes, all right? So I'm the vine, you're the canes. If I say that, you'll now know what I'm talking about. So we've read this passage, I'm the true vine, my father is the gardener. Let's have a look at the next slide, Val. And the next one, please. We've actually read that. We don't need to read it again. What do we mean by true vine? What you often find in passages of scriptures is a certain word there, and you can gloss over it, or you can actually concentrate on it. What does he mean by the true vine? Val, can I have the next one? Here's a couple of untrue vines. Can anybody recognize any of them? Ah, yes, we have a gardener here. That's very much an untrue vine. Unfortunately, these also are pictures from my vineyard. So I have a few untrue vines that are bludging off me and parasiting and getting in and causing a lot of harm. What do we do to untrue vines? We pull them out, right? The one on the right, can anyone guess what it is? Ha, ha, ha. Not so easy, huh? It actually looks like a grapevine because it is a vine. But it's a rootstock vine. So that will grow like crazy and no fruit will come out of it. So you can tend that as much as you like and it's actually not going to actually yield anything of any use to you. What's it doing there? Well, sometimes we graft true vines onto the roots of it and thereby get something useful out of it. So we now know what untrue vines are. Okay, let's have a look at the true vine, please, Val. There we go. I am the true vine. So what is a true vine? Well, to a viticulturalist, a true vine is, in this case, Chardonnay. But it ain't just Chardonnay. Ah, it's gin clone Chardonnay. It's got to be a specific clone. It's got to be a specific vine type that we know is going to prosper in that soil. So we get very, very specific about getting the true vine. It's not just something we slap in. I got a few cuttings from a mate and formed a vineyard out of it. If you're going to grow great wine, you've got to get the right vine. So the true vine goes right down to clonal selection for us. The next one is my father is the gardener. Well, here he is. That's not my father. That's actually my son. And he's the, so in this metaphor, the gardener is, of course, the pruner. And he's looking very godlike there because he knew he was actually, he is God to those vines. He makes life and death decisions. So if we have the next one, Val, and that's his weapon of choice. Back in the day, I've often wondered, how did Jesus prune vines? Because he didn't have felcotronics, which are electric secchies. So they must have actually sawed them, I reckon, unless they had, because secateurs are quite an advanced piece of mechanical engineering. So I reckon they sawed them. But nonetheless, what I found really amazing is that Jesus, a carpenter, actually knows more about pruning than pretty well anybody I've ever had come onto my vineyard, because his description of what to do is totally and utterly accurate. That struck me as really, really amazing, because I actually only started studying scripture about 12 years ago. So there are a lot of you here with a lot more depth and knowledge than I have. But this one struck me because I thought, how can he know that? How can he get it so right? And to me, that was just further proof of the truth of his message to us. So this is a beautiful metaphor based from someone who really shouldn't know much about pruning. But as he is God, he knows everything there is to know about pruning. Can we have the next one, please, Val? The next thing we do, so he says, I cut off those vines that bear no fruit. Now that vine, that branch that he's cutting off there is actually one from last year. So the first thing that it'll do as a pruner is you go through and you get rid of all the old wood. So all the old stuff gets cut out. Can we have the next one, please, Val? What you end up with is, as I describe, he cuts off those branches in me that bear no fruit. What you end up with there is a vine that has had the stuff off it that we don't want anymore. And that decision-making process, how long do you think it takes me to prune one of these vines? Would I wait for half an hour to think over every cut? I've got 20,000 of them to prune. The decision, I can tell you folks, is made like that. Bang, bang, bang. And that's the amount of time it takes for God to decide who's going to be part of this vine and who's not. It is a decision that's made obvious to those who know what they're looking for. And I can look at a cane, as the Lord will be looking at each of us and saying, who is actually going to be kept and who is going to be gotten rid of? And this brings us on to the next one. This is what I think is really, really interesting. Those that are left are not all left. If we could just take the next one, Val, it kind of shows this better. See what we've ended up with. We ended up with about four or five really good fruitful canes. All right, that should be good. We learned that. No. You might be fruitful, but you're going that way, mate. You might be fruitful, but I'm cutting you back to size. You're going to be down to two buds, and you are going that direction. So in other words, being part of the vine, and this is where, if we could just leave that one up there for a sec, something I wanted to emphasize earlier. That trunk, Jesus often refers to himself as the source of life. We talk about him as, you know, as I am your food, I am your, you know, I will swell up like a well of water. That trunk is providing everything to those vines. That is where their source of life. It is providing their water, their nutrients, their sugar. And that's where, when he talks about without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, without that source, those canes that are left out there can do nothing. It's a beautiful analogy for those who understand when Jesus talks about being, you know, your source of life. For a true Christian, that source comes from Jesus. And the roots are bringing up the soil nutrients, and they are providing it to those who remain attached to that vine. And so, yeah, apart from me, you knew nothing. I like the other line which comes up in this passage, and it comes up again and again. You did not choose me, I chose you. That's a pretty amazing thought as a true Christian. And you sometimes think, why me? And we've been watching the series on Netflix on Moses recently, and if ever there was a dude who did not like the job he was given, it was him. Can you blame him? What a thankless task to take that grumbling bunch of people out into the desert, copying negative reactions the whole time through, and Lord, why me? And that is it as being one of the chosen. You are chosen. and so it is a process of understanding, remaining attached to Jesus is how you are able to fulfill that role. Next one, please. So what happens? In spring, those dead-looking canes come alive. They come alive because they're attached to that trunk. And in a process that I've never really understood, it's to do with temperature change, it's to do with light change, all of a sudden, all the vines come out together. As you can see there's a vineyard in spring, and those canes that we left, those that we tied down, are now starting to come alive. And if we go into the next one, a couple of months later, what you see here is the fruit that Jesus referred to. You don't get fruit out of the trunk of the vine, you get fruit from the canes. And those canes, it was really interesting because I think it is a really interesting photo there, because it was taken by my dear wife. And if you look at it, I looked and I thought, that's not a very good photo. Susanna doesn't think in great depth about what she's taking photos of and posting online. I see lots of grapes on there that aren't too good. And I thought, yeah, but that's correct. Your fruit will not be perfect. I could have taken photos of that and photoshopped, and every single grape was beautiful and round and shining. Your fruit will not be perfect, but you're yielding, and you're yielding fruit. And I think that's a beautiful analogy to actually use the bunches of grapes that have a bit of moldy stuff on them as well, because you will never be perfect. Only my grapes are perfect, and only Susanna can find photos of the ones that aren't, because she found them there. So let's go for the analogy of the vineyard, then we'll take it back to what is the actual fruit that Jesus is talking about. Okay, a bunch of grapes is about that big. If it's Shiraz, if it's Chardonnay, it's only about 100 grams. So each little person yields about 100 grams, and there's two of them on that trunk, so they might be yielded a couple of hundred. When you take it to a vine, that vine will yield about 3 kilos of fruit. It's not a lot, right? So that's each of us yields a little bit. When you take the row, it yields about 500 kilos. Now we're starting to get somewhere. When you take the block, it yields 16 tons. And 16 tons of fruit, what are you going to do with such stuff? Well, you make that amazing stuff down the bottom there on the right called wine. And wine is what we have as part of our communion. Wine is central to Christian metaphor. Wine is good. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You can actually place orders with me after the service for the pet now. But the point is this. Out of this true vine comes truly great wine. And it is a substance that is in its purest form. I kid you not. That wine that I'm showing there has nothing added whatsoever. The Lord God has made a grape that has yeasts, has all that is required within it to make that wine. We had nothing. So it is when you're dealing with a true vine, you are dealing with truly something that is divine. So, and out of that, and that's where I see the analogy, each of us produces our little bit of fruit, but as a group of people, we produce a bit more, and as a society, each of those little bunches, each of that little bit of fruit makes something absolutely amazing. So if we move on to the last bit, what fruit does Jesus want us to yield? And in that passage, he talks about, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. So we know that the fruit is not just wine. That's the analogy. It is love. And that's sweeter than any wine. And if we look at further into this, we see that John gets into it in Colossians, which is the last slide I'll end with, please, Valerie. And he says, and actually... we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Clothe yourself. So what does the fruit look like that Jesus wants us to produce being attached to him? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That is the human virtue that we are cultivating and that we are drawing our strength from Jesus Christ to produce. And the most difficult one for many of us, but which is key to the Christian message, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the fruit that comes to those who remain in the truth, remain attached to our Lord and his vine. Thank you. That's the message for today. Oh, I like applause. You weren't supposed to do that.